One major issue that you talked about, and everybody's going to be talking about, is the cost that relates to the issue of bevacizumab also. Any thoughts on that?
Well, in the adjuvant setting, if you cure a significant number of patients, a health economist would say that those women are going to be contributing to American society for the next 20 years where they might not otherwise have done so.
And I guess avoiding a lot of costs.
And avoiding a lot of costs for treatment of metastatic disease. Treating metastatic disease is not cheap, by the way, and certainly in a setting where a patient with metastatic disease who is HER2 positive gets trastuzumab through multiple lines of therapy, sometimes over several years, that's not inexpensive. So in fact, giving that same woman a few months of trastuzumab in the adjuvant setting might result in a long-term improvement from a financial standpoint. Now, having said that, trastuzumab is an expensive drug. Bevacizumab is an even more expensive drug. Are we moving into an era where many of our patients just simply will be unable to afford life-saving therapy? It's a real concern, and certainly one that I know many oncologists share.
You know, and to some extent, we're kind of caught in something that's kind of bigger than ourselves in terms of the reimbursement system and
yes.
how our society just decides to allocate funds. You know, one of the things I was thinking about is the concluding slide of all the presenters yesterday had special thanks to.
Yes.
And the list was long. It wasn't just the patients. It was the NCI. It was the people who did it. I mean, these are major organizational issues that try to pull off a study like this.
Yeah, though, before we get into the kind of Humphrey Bogart, we don't count for more than a hill of beans in this large world Casablanca scenario, I think there are some things we can do which actually may help us there. Yesterday, a year of trastuzumab became the de facto standard in the adjuvant setting for patients with breast cancer, but we don't know if it's the correct amount of time. One possibility that's raised by Edith Perez's 9831 analysis is that most of the benefit that we're seeing in the joint analysis may come about as a result of the combination of chemotherapy and trastuzumab rather than with the trastuzumab that followed the chemotherapy. And if that is the case, and it's well worth studying, it's possible that perhaps even just a few months of trastuzumab might be all that we need or might give us 90 or 95% of the benefit.
I'm not sure I want to be the person who's in the trial comparing 3 months to a year, though, do you?
Well, hard to say. You know, we faced this issue before in oncology. I mean, we certainly faced it, for instance, in a whole suite of testicular cancer studies where after showing a significant amount of benefit, we then went into studies that tried to minimize toxicity and decrease length of therapy. We have to be a little bit careful about assuming that our first pass guess at therapy is the ultimate answer. And I do think it's worth at least thinking about. As a result of actually being involved in an education session this year on cancer in the developing world, something that I've become very aware of is that slightly more than half of the breast cancer on this planet, and a growing percentage over time going forward, is going to be in developing world countries where no one will be able to afford this therapy. So I actually do think we have an ethical and moral responsibility to try to find ways to make this really cost-effective therapy for a lot of women.